Good afternoon, Gen Zs, Gen Xers, and anybody else who has decided to listen to Trespassing Aloud today. Lesson number 5 on why I have said everyone in this entire country needs to own their own business at some point in their life, even if it's as simple as a lemonade stand, or as complex as running a nuclear physics facility somewhere that most of us will never even know about. I know that's a pretty wide range. Lemonade stand on one side, nuclear physicists where you're actually building and creating a company for more nuclear physicists. We're a wide-ranging show here. We talk about some small things that may taste good, and we talk about some large things. Real quick on the nuclear physicists. When I look at the things I'm not necessarily good at, nuclear physics is probably one of them. Real quick story. I got to chemistry in high school and I wasn't that wild about it. And I regret that I didn't take physics because I think I would have loved that so much more. Once I built the trebuchet and we realized the formula, physics, I think I would have really enjoyed. Nuclear physics, okay, this isn't completely true, but if I knew at my high school where the physics class was, but I wanted to be a nuclear physicist, I needed to find the room where the nuclear room was. Where were they teaching nuclear? And quite honestly, I couldn't find the room. I started asking, hey, other teachers, where's the nuclear room at? John, we don't have a nuclear room. What do you mean? We're a high school, Southern Indiana. How can we not have a nuclear? Don't go up and down your halls at any point yelling nuclear, 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 because people are going to take it the wrong way. And then, I don't know, they evacuate the school. Okay. I did not do that. Okay. I will tell you a little later about a building I did evacuate one time in a matter of 10 minutes, but that's the self-deprecation phase of this particular podcast. Today, we are going to talk about, in better detail, that when I say to you that in reality, life can be this simplistic, okay? Your first 30 years of your life, you are learning the world. The second 30 to 61, you're building the world. You're taking what you've learned in the first 30, and now you're building the world. It can be 1,000,000,000 different things. You may want to be building the world as the ultimate marketing company, okay? You may want to be in the marketing business and you are now building the world with your own marketing company. You may have the ability to run your own electrical shop, okay? Your own plumbing facilities. You could possibly have the most amazing bait and emporium shop where you have all kinds of fish from all over the world. Other forms of business, you could be a home renovator, you could be one of those flippers. You know, you may have a sweet tooth, you may want to have the greatest cookie business in the world. You may start out with one small shop in, you know, Northern California, and your cookies are so amazing, and you've got such an amazing marketing company that suddenly everybody in the world wants your cookies. Okay? That could be you. Your dream, your passion is your passion. But first, you got to learn a little bit about the world, okay? And that 1 to 30 that we're going to spend a little time on is all about learning your world, okay? It's simple initially. We have to learn to eat. Right? Okay, if we don't eat, learn how to eat, know where the cookies are in the cabinet, we're not going to be very happy. Okay, we have to learn how to talk. Okay, that kind of helps. Walking is important. If I want to get around the world someday, I got to go from crawling to walking, and I got to need to learn that. Hopefully, I have some parents and some people who are going to teach me how to walk. Maybe I want to learn a little bit of football, all right? Go out in the yard, play with some of the neighbors. Football, alphabet. What age were you when you learned the alphabet from A to Z? And you could say it forwards, backwards. Okay, here's one. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, nu, mu, xi, omicron, pi, rho, sigma, tau, upsilon, pi, chi, psi, omega. Okay, yeah, I learned two alphabets, and one was Greek. Don't test me on that one, but you see what I'm saying? Learn the alphabet. Okay, hopefully, this is really important. I say this all the time. Hopefully, you're learning some math. Okay, at many levels in school, grade school, high school, college, please learn some math, because math is going to really help you with owning your own business. If you don't know a lot about math and you're depending on somebody else or even Siri to help you with math, you're going to have some issues. You may learn how to swim during this time so you can go and frolic in the ocean, the river, the pool, the pond. You know, I was more of a pond person than, you know, people thought. You're going to learn how to clean your room. It helps, okay? Cleaning your room, at least when somebody comes and surprises you in your room, if it's clean, you feel a little bit better. Yeah, some people just say, screw it, it's my room. Hopefully, you're going to learn a little bit of history, okay? I just want to talk a little bit about history, whether it is the history of the United States of America, the history of Europe, the history of the world. I really want you to concentrate and try to learn as much about the history of our country as you can. Way too often, I see people making some really, really bad decisions because they haven't studied history. And sure enough, they're repeating the same mistakes somebody else has made. The beautiful thing about studying history is you learn from history. Mike Gable, I'll tell you a lot more about Mike Gable, and quite honestly, I want to congratulate Mike Gable. He just retired officially here in Evansville. I told you many times, Mike Gable will be the first person, my first full, true, 100% interview. Mike Gable was also my history teacher, and he made history exciting. Every day we'd go into his class. Is there anything in the news? He would ask. Every day, anything in the news. Which meant those of us who read the newspaper or maybe watched a little news last night, we got to say something. But learn some history, people, because if you don't learn history, you're going to be really confused when you try certain things. And then when it fails, people are going to say, didn't you understand what they meant back in the 1950s when they tried this and this and this and it didn't quite work? Please learn some history. 1 to 30, learn some history. You know, you might know how to push a lawnmower. You might know a little landscaping. Hey, you may even learn how to fish. If you learn how to fish and you have a place to fish, you at least always have something to eat. Remember, giving a man a fish feeds him for a day. Teaching a man to fish. But in the first 30 years of your life, just think of it as I'm learning the world. And while you're learning the world, there's a good chance you may start learning the kind of things you want to do for the rest of your life. You may start learning what your passions might be someday. But learning the world from 1 to 30 is that time in your life where if you learn it correctly, you spend the right amount of time learning your world, it's going to make the next 60 to 70 years go much easier, much better. You're going to feel wiser. Some people want to have a very expansive type of learning. They want to study 10,000 different things. Some people, no. I don't really want to learn that many things. I just would prefer to learn a few less, but I want to really, really get into it, okay? I know a few doctors. Some are very close to me. Some are just people that I met at the hospital. But doctors, you want to be a doctor, man, you better really feel comfortable reading lots of books, learning big words, understanding formulas. But whatever it is you think you want to do, you better realize your first 30 years, you're learning the world. I will be honest and say that, okay, now I've graduated from college, okay, and now I want to jump into this type of business. I want to jump into this type of career. I still believe your first 5 years of that career, you're learning very much. You're learning an incredible amount. I don't think you're building the world necessarily. I think your first 5 years, you're still learning it. Because now for the first time, you're taking that education. And maybe you didn't go to college, maybe right after high school. You're now taking what you learned in high school. And now you're starting to want to build the world. But I understand that first 5 years, I think you're still learning the world. I will say this much, TikTok, YouTube is so amazing that, you know, what you can now do by asking YouTube a question that can be answered in seconds, where in back in the old days, it took you days, sometimes weeks to figure out how to do it. But learn the world in your first 30 years. Whether you just learn how to walk and talk, are you just figured out that nuclear physics is what you want to get into and maybe someday, you know, take a trip to Mars. I don't know and I don't care. But here's a really quick example of when you learn the world and you learn what you're doing and you get good at it. Here's a really quick example I'm going to give you of just how profitable that can be if you're owning your own business, okay? So as a landscape company, you're in a bunch of different things. We did irrigation, we did chemical, we did construction, we did aquatics, we did all of these different things, right? But one of our divisions was irrigation. A lot of the people that we worked for said, John, would you mind doing this? Would you do our chemical work? Would you do our irrigation work? Would you do this and this? And I did. I had a hard time saying no, because part of it was a neat challenge to say, okay, how long would it take our company to learn to be a good irrigation company? Not really all that long. A couple trips up to Indianapolis, a few seminars, a little bit of video. It's not all that hard. It's pipe, it's wire, it's a couple controllers, it's understanding friction loss. For some, may be confusing, but for people that are already digging, sure, we can do irrigation, right? We got pretty good at it to the point where commercial properties were saying, hey, we want you to come in and do our irrigation. And I had a couple people, again, that I hired, that I trusted, that did a very good job. But here was the cool day. One of the companies that we were installing for, they had a engineering company that came in first and laid out the irrigation system and basically blueprints and what size pipe and how long and what size heads and this and that. But somewhere in that blueprint, there was a part where before the sidewalk was to be laid, they were supposed to lay a sleeve down, meaning they were supposed to put a piece of pipe about 3 inches in diameter underneath the sidewalk so that when we brought our main line, which was 2.5, 2 inches, we could just slide it through the sleeve, all right? Don't get caught up in what is a sleeve of irrigation. Just understand that under a sidewalk, which was about 4 feet wide, there was supposed to be a 3-inch pipe, PVC. Well, because of distractions, confusions, and all kinds of things, the sidewalk was put in, and when my company was getting ready to put our pipe through the sleeve, guess what wasn't there? Yeah, they forgot the 3-inch sleeve. All the 3-inch sleeve was like 5 feet long, you know, and it was just supposed to be a piece of pipe. Probably it cost about $2 or $3 back in that day. Unfortunately, I had to let the engineer of the operation know that they forgot the sleeve. So he now had to have or find somebody that was willing to come in, and now they had to put this sleeve in, right? It wasn't going to be us necessarily, because it really had to be the company that screwed up in the first place. Well, long story short, when he calls the company to tell them they got to put the sleeve in, the company came up with some idea that it wasn't necessarily their fault, but hey, the sleeve had to be put in so John's company could get the irrigation put in. The engineer asked the question, okay, guys, what is it going to cost to put this sleeve in? And the answer, because they felt like they needed to bring in two or three guys, they had to have some kind of a boring system, they had to have a piece of equipment, it was going to take 4 to 6 hours to get everybody involved, the answer was $1,600. He wasn't happy with that answer, but the bottom line was that's the only option he thought he had, $1,600 to put in a 3-inch sleeve, a pipe 5 feet long. I'm thinking, okay, I've been in this business for a while, and I'm thinking about, yeah, I know the equipment they're talking about. I know their plan on what they think they're going to do and how they're going to do it. And I just kind of said, we'll call him Bill. Hey, Bill, if you want this done quickly, but for $1,600, I think I can get it for you by the end of the day. Because the other issue was the company that was going to charge them $1,600, it was going to be like 3 days before they could get there. Bill was so upset with this other company. John, fine, $1,600, I'll give you $1,600 to put in the sleeve. Okay, because I had done a little research and I knew a little bit about sleeves and irrigation and concrete sidewalks and all of that, my mind said, wait a second, for a 4-inch sidewalk, if I could dig a foot and a half on one side and I could dig a foot and a half on the other side, and all I needed to do was take kind of a rod and just with a sledgehammer and sledgehammer it through, and then I could just take that sleeve, I don't think it was going to take 4 or 5 hours. I did exactly that. I took my king of spades, I dug out one side, I dug out the other side. Yeah, I had to be a little bit below the gravel that was underneath the concrete and so on and so forth. But in 45 minutes, the sleeve was in. In 45 minutes, my company was out able to move forward. But in 45 minutes, we made $1,600. Because we didn't need that big machine. We didn't need all the detail. All we needed was a shovel, a sledgehammer, a rod that was a little bit bigger than 3 inches. My point to this story is not that, oh my gosh, those guys were amazing. They could make $1,600 in 45 minutes. No, because we learned the world, because we knew exactly what we were doing, and we had done this so many different times when it was our responsibility, it was a pretty simple, easy way to make nearly $2,000 in an hour. You see, had I been working for someone else, had I not had the courage or the confidence to say, hey, we will do this for $1,600, did he know when he said, John, go for it, that it was going to take me 45 minutes? Probably not. Did he ever come and find out from me exactly how we were able to put the sleeve in between 3 and 4 o'clock? No, he didn't do that either. But when you learn the world correctly, and when you can have the confidence to say, I'm not afraid to make $1,600 in 45 minutes by using a $4 or $5 piece of pipe and a sledgehammer and a shovel, That's what you have the ability to do. And here's what I can tell you. There are people listening to this right now that can say, John, I learned how to make $45,000 in an hour. I have made $20,000 in an hour. The point of this is there's always going to be a better story. But for me, new, younger company, this is what, again, gave me the confidence to say, okay, man, if we can do this, imagine what we can do in 10, 20, 30 years. All right. I have now learned the world. I am now building the world. Building the world means now for the next 30 years, I'm going to take everything I've learned in my first 30 years and I'm going to start building the world. Whatever my expertise is, whatever I'm good at, whatever I'm comfortable with doing, I don't care if it's 2 hours a week, 20 hours a week, 45 hours a week, or 90 hours a week. Now I'm beginning to build the world. As I'm building the world, I'm learning every day. Some people will build the world one department at a time. Some people will decide that their comfort level is to do one thing every day, same thing. This is what I'm comfortable with. I tried that once, and after about a week and a half, I got so bored doing the exact same thing every day, I realized that I wasn't going to be good in the factory. But maybe during this time, you're going to learn your passion. And as we talked about, when you learn your passion, the thing that you absolutely cannot sleep at night because you're so excited about what you're now doing, what you can do, what this can lead you to do, the ability of, oh my gosh, now at the age of 30, I am now understanding that if I continue to move in the right direction, at the age of 32, I can plan my 60, 70, 80, and 90 years. Let me say that again. If I have my own business, and if I'm learning how to do certain things, and a couple of them become my passion, that literally at the age of 25, 27, 29, 31, you can start doing things that you know will set you up for your last 30 or 40 years. Sit on that for a little bit. If I am working for someone else, and most of my day is under their control, and all I have is a few hours in the evening and weekends to maybe go out and look for my dream, look for my future, I'm not going to have the availability every day to have the freedom to think about where do I want to be in my 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and beyond. Or at least not with the control I have if I have my own business. Now, talking to you Gen Zs and Gen Xers a little bit, there may be some of you out there that you're in this situation right now, whether it's your own business or you're working for other people. You may now be in the last 6 years, you may be on your 37th job. But finally, you think you have found the right job. I like my boss. I like my coworkers. I like what I'm making. I'm only working 40 hours a week, but you know, I like what I'm making. The work that I'm doing, I just like it. It's I go in every morning and I'm building the most perfect mermaid tails. I just love this work. I now have found my perfect job. I'm excited for you. I am, because this might be it. But if you're working for this amazing bird sanctuary and you think now that you have the bird sanctuary just where you want it to be, and then the next week the boss pisses you off, your coworker accidentally ate your food out of the refrigerator and thought it was theirs, you realize that you're not making enough money in 40 hours a week to be able to travel the world because at the age of 32, you want to travel the world because you just saw on Instagram some girl out in California who she is now traveling the world because she is making incredible amounts of money and she has that kind of control of her life. But now you're pissed off because this job isn't what I thought it was going to be, so I have got to go out and find a new job. Job number 38 and a half. If this sounds like you, then I probably am not going to be a big help to you. If you're disgruntled, unhappy, frustrated, mad every 4 or 5 weeks with your job to the point where you've got to go find another job, then we have a problem. I talked to some person the other day that tell me about your career. Well, you know, I was working here for a few months and then they didn't treat me well. And then I had to go here for a few months and they made me mad. And then these people over here screwed me over. And then this other job, then they screwed me over. And the companies he's mentioning, I'm thinking, wait a second, these are companies I've heard of in Evansville for a very long time. And I know some people have been there 20, 30, 40 years, and they're actually doing pretty well. As you build the world, please understand that not every day is going to be a lot of fun. When you're building the world, you've got to decide fairly early how you want to build it, how quickly you want to build it, and what are going to be some of the negatives that you're just going to have to overcome. We say all the time, find your passion and you'll never work a day in your life. Find something you love to do that you don't mind working ungodly amounts of hours because you love doing it. And when you love doing those things, trust me, you're going to become extremely efficient at it. You're going to be so good at it, you can do it blindfolded. You're going to get so good at doing some things that on the side, if you want to go out and you want to make a humongous amount of money on that extra 10 hours or 15 hours a week, if you're changing your job during the time you're supposed to be building the world and you're changing your job every 3 months or 5 months or even every year and you're going to go try something else, relearn, rebuild, you're going to struggle with the fact that 10 years from now, you're just not necessarily going to be super good at any one thing. And that's going to frustrate you. When you're building your world, try to find the positive things that now, when you come home at night, you're not jumping on the couch with bonbons playing video games. You're actually researching more about what you love to do. Because if at the age of 30, you want to plan your 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s, you're going to have a much easier time of doing it when you're sticking to something and learning it not to perfection. But you're learning it so well, you're super efficient. You've talked to enough people that they're going to help you along the way. You have created enough bridges and you've crossed enough bridges where now suddenly you have this vision of your future. And that vision of your future is just super exciting. Yes, I want you to own your own business for a lot of reasons. I want you to own your own business so you can have control and empowerment in your life like you can never have when you're working for someone else and you have to ask them permission. Yes, owning your own business, again, you're going to have so many bosses depending on what type of business you have. But if you have that business where you've got a number of employees that you can depend on, and you've got those bosses out there that you need to work with, I'm going to tell you a story in the near future about one of the great things of owning your own business that you can never do when you work for someone. I'm going to tell you a couple stories about where you can actually fire your own boss. Let me say that again. When you own your own business, you have the ability, because you're in control of your life and you're accountable for your life, you have the ability to fire your bosses. To every one of you out there today who is working for someone else, imagine going in tomorrow and either your manager or your supervisor or your boss, you are just going to fire them. That's a little different, John. I haven't fired many bosses. Maybe I've been fired by a boss or two, maybe a manager I pissed off and the manager fired me. But when was the last time you had the ability to fire your boss? In the next month and a half, I will share with you one of the greatest reasons to own your own business is you have the ability to fire your boss. Can't wait, can you? I'll tell you this, in 30 years, I think I only fired three bosses. I think only three times did I have to fire three bosses. But the ability and control to fire your boss, man, that is empowering. And it can be so much fun. More details later. Little side note for those of you who want to own your own business, and maybe you've got a spouse, a significant other, a partner, maybe they too want to own their own business. I will tell you this, for myself and my wife, she also ran her own business, still does. I thought it was very good for us to have two separate businesses. As I mentioned, the fact that we could both come home at the end of the day and we could vent or we could discuss what happened that day. Having two different entrepreneurs in the house, especially with the fact that we were both pretty different, was, I think, a very positive thing for us. We could come home at night and I didn't have to ask her permission on 10 different decisions I had to make that week. I didn't have to do that. She's a jeweler, okay? She didn't have to come home and ask me permission. Can I buy a laser welder so I can do a better job of engraving all kinds of gold and silver and jewels and all that? For me and my wife, having two separate businesses, I think, was pivotal in our ability to make money, spend money, enjoy money, and yet every night we could share our day. And think about that. If you're in a business or you're going to get in business and, you know, if your significant other says, hey, I'd like to, you know, be in your business or start my own business, I'm just going to tell you that I believed in our case, two of us having two separate businesses was a very positive thing. So 30 to 60, I'm building the world. 30 to 60 with duplication, I have 11,000 days to do something positive. 11,000 days that if I can just move the ball just a little bit farther, just a little bit farther, just a little bit farther in 11,000 days, it's going to be pretty cool to see what all of that ball movement can do for you. Remember though, Write this down. Gen Zs and Gen Xs especially. If you're of the baby boomers or you're, you know, some of these old people, if you haven't written it down or you understand by now, it really doesn't matter. You're not going to change. But this is important. So often you hear people talk about all the great wise decisions, all the monumental smart things they did that got them to where they are. Their success, and again, my definition of success, it's not always a number. Success is a feeling. When you put a number on success, sometimes you're never going to be satisfied with that number. To me, success is more of a feeling that says, okay, wow, planned this when I was 30, continued when I was 35, 40, 45, all along the way, I had more and more and more fun all along the way. I got to do some things that people just kept shaking their heads, and then they're like, what's he going to do next, right? It's important to understand that if you're going to move consistently over 11,000 days, it's not the big smart decisions you make. It's not making bad decisions. Time will tell. But if you are one that you find that you're making bad decisions sometimes consistently, that on my 11,000 day journey while I'm building the world, I am having these hiccups. I'm doing some things so wrong that I just screwed up my next 500 days. I just did something so stupid, and I kind of knew it before I did it. I did something so stupid that now I'm going to have to take a real big back step because either my attorney or my therapist or my wife or somebody is now telling me that you really screwed up. You really screwed up. If you've got those on your track record, you've got to make some changes. It's not the super smart decisions that people make all the time. It's the people that don't make the bad decisions that I cannot say I'm moving forward. I'm moving in the right direction. No, I just hit a big wall. And I hit this wall so hard, and it was such a stupid wall for me to even to begin to hit, that now for the next 500 days of my 11,000 days, it's gonna cost some money, it's gonna cost a lot of time, it's gonna cost a lot of emotion, it's gonna cost a lot of frustration. When you're building your world, you're past learning it, okay? There's certain things when you're learning your world, we sometimes can give you a little bit of a benefit of the doubt because you're still learning some things. Hopefully, you're smart enough that you're not taking back steps. But when you're building the world, hopefully you have the maturity and the realization that, okay, now I need to take everything I learned here and now I need to put it to good use. You're never, ever not going to have that moment that you make the mistake. That makes us human. Dumb tax, stupid tax is what my friend Dave calls it. We have those stupid tax moments. How often are you having them? How often are you having to come home in a very quiet mode and your spouse says, what's going on? How often do you have to mention the stupid tax? Being successful many times is just not making the bad decisions. There's a lot of millionaires out there who live and make a teacher's salary, which for some, that's great. For a lot of people, that's not a lot of money. but they become millionaires because they do smart things day in and day out. Are you that kind of person? Are you day in and day out, if you had to keep score, how many smart decisions did I make today and how many dumb decisions did I make today? What does that data sheet look like? All right. Oh, I promised you a self-deprecating moment, right? You ever wanted to clear a building? Maybe hundreds, many hundreds of people. You ever wanted to clear a building? It's not something I'm proud of. But it is something that I'm not necessarily ashamed of it either, because if given the same opportunity, the same chance, I probably would have done the same thing a couple different times. But here I was. One of the diversifications that created within my company was that we used to clean litho ovens. Okay, I talked about for me to keep my people busy and for our company to continue to grow, and especially in the wintertime, we were cleaning litho ovens. And basically, just imagine there is a humongous oven that's 12 feet high, 8 feet wide, 200 feet long, and these ovens are basically exactly that. They're ovens to create closures for every imaginable jar, can you can think of. We were cleaning these ovens, not only in Evansville, Indiana, but we got the contract to clean them also in St. Louis, Missouri. I'm only telling you this story because today on my walk, the idea of clearing a large group of people in 10 minutes just kind of came out of nowhere, and I thought I'd share it with you. So here we were. So I had a division within my company that they could go over to St. Louis, they could go to Silgan, they could spend an entire week there and they would clean ovens. And each one of these ovens, they had these huge venting systems that the heat and particulates would come out of the oven, it would go up a vent, then it would go parallel to the roof, and these ceilings were probably 30, 40, 50 feet high. And then they would exit out into the roof. My manager, who was running this part of my company, calls me one day, hey, can you come over to St. Louis? We want to talk to you about one of the things that are going on and blah, 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 and this and that. Sure, I can do that. So imagine this company was probably 3-4 acres. I mean, it's humongous, the amount of space inside this building. So as I get there, they are all up, my entire company, they're out of the litho oven, they're up near the roof working on the venting system up there. I called them and I'm like, hey, I'd like to come up, get with you guys, maybe I'll even scrape it with you a little bit, I'll put my suit on, how do I get up there? No problem, John, there's a scissors lift, okay, one of these scissors lifts that, you know, you can operate at 30, 40 feet high. Just go over there, get on the scissors lift, and you can come in because we're pretty far back in this event. Okay, this can work. Problem was, the lift was already up to the ceiling, and I needed to be able to bring it back down so that I could just lift myself up. Now, there's a part of me that said, shoot, I can just climb up this thing, you know. Boy Scout who likes rappelling, I could just climb up. But no, I'm not going to do the dumb thing today. I'm going to be mature, and I'm just going to lower the lift. So I find the mechanism, and it's got the 4 or 5 little buttons on it, you know, and you push the one button, and the lift will go one way, and you push the button, they'll go the other way, and then you push another button, it'll go up and down. So because I hadn't played with these for a while, I was trying to kind of figure out how to do this. Suddenly, I found the button that made it pull back about 4 to 6 inches, okay? And I'm like, okay, I know what that button means. And so I now realize that this other button may push it forward, didn't need to go there. I'm pretty sure that these other two buttons are going to take and lower it or raise it, right? So here I was, I'm about ready to lower this thing and meet my company. I press the down button, and as the button is pressed, and suddenly I could feel the hydraulics. I could start to see it come down, but immediately I hear this sound like, oh, when like a pipe becomes dislodged from another pipe. And then not only was it this dislodging sound I heard, I also heard this loud, very powerful hissing sound, like air or gas or something hissing. I look up to realize that, I think I may have just caused this. I think maybe when I moved this thing back 6 inches, I think it maybe actually went up against this pipe that was running throughout the entire warehouse. I was pretty sure that it was gas because within about 3 seconds, you could start to smell gas. And I realized that, okay, it's not a water line because I'm still dry. It's not an airline because an airline just as loud. No, this was pretty much a gas line. It was about a 2-inch diameter gas line. You know me, never panic. But immediately I get a call from my company that says, we're not sure what you did, but right now we're smelling a lot of gas up here. Which I was like, okay, you might want to just keep going all the way out and jump up on the roof, okay? Because I think what has happened is I think we just broke a gas line. I then immediately called the maintenance supervisor, who he and I had become good friends because we had been doing work there for a couple years and he knew me fairly well. And I called him, and we'll just call him Bob. Hey, Bob. I think I may have just broke a major gas line, okay? By now, there were other people not far from me that were going like this. Do you smell that? And then there were other people that were kind of like pointing like, do you see that? And within, I don't know, maybe 2 to 3 minutes later, after talking with Bob, we hear this intercom moment. This speaker comes across the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen of Silgan, we would like for everyone to now exit the building. Please don't panic, don't rush, don't get in a hurry, but we would like for you to find the nearest exits to this building, and we would really like for you to leave the building. I'm kind of now, what could go wrong next? Within about 3 to 5 minutes, there were only about 2 or 3 of us left in the building. Bob, John, because I felt a little responsible for what was going on. And I think there was 1 or 2 other maintenance people, because what we were trying to now do was we needed to find the shutoff valve, okay? Because the quicker we could get this shut off, the quicker we could potentially save the building from maybe disarray. I wasn't necessarily worried that the place was going to explode, because there was part of the announcement, please make sure nobody create any type of spark as you're leaving the building, okay? So at least we had that announcement, but here's what scared me. Here's the part that I thought, you know, knowing my luck, yes, I have just executed a building moment where everyone in the building has left the building because of you know who. But here's what scared me a little bit. You know that guy at school in high school that always thought he was really cool because he could get out of class and he could go to the bathroom and he would be able to light up a cigarette? You know, he was the guy that was so smart that he was not going to get caught smoking a cigarette at school. That's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about that one employee at Silgan who 5 minutes before I broke the pipe found a bathroom or somewhere and decided, you know what? I deserve a 5-minute break, 10-minute break. I'm going to light up. Call it crazy, but It wasn't the welder guy over there that didn't know what was going on. It wasn't the sanders over there that was creating a spark. No, my fear was there is somebody in a bathroom somewhere taking a break, enjoying themselves, and they're just going to light up. Here's the good news. It didn't happen. Within about 10 minutes, which seemed like an hour and 10 minutes, within about 10 minutes, we finally found the right blueprint, and we were finally able to figure out where the nearest ball valve was that needed to be shut off. We found it. We turned it off. Started fans and started to dissipate the gas. Why am I telling you this story? That moment when I began to rethink through it, of exactly what had to have happened for that lift to have just moved 4 or 5 inches backwards, and it was so high that I didn't feel guilty that I had necessarily done something wrong. I didn't feel like I had just gotten frustrated, took an axe, got mad at the world and started beating on a gas line because I wanted to create the fastest evacuation of a building that I had ever witnessed. I felt bad for the fact that I'm sure somebody was going to have some questions. I would probably maybe have to fill out a report, but here's the amazing thing. I never, other than Bob, never went any further than that. I do, it was interesting, about a year and a half, 2 years later, they closed the business down, and maybe it was the fact that this business, they knew that it wasn't going to be open much longer. But amazingly, I never was sitting at a desk with guys in white shirts and ties that wanted to know what happened. I think because I was just 100% honest with Bob and said, Bob, this thing was 30, 35 feet up in the air. I moved it 6 inches. It must have caught on to one of the lines. I guess by telling the truth, Bob was like, yeah, no, it's fine. We're going to be okay. Everybody got their 20-minute break outside. They probably enjoyed it more than their normal break. I don't know. You're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen in your business that you just have to realize, okay, here's one thing I could have done. I could have called one of my employees. Hey, why don't you come? Why don't you get on the lift and come on down and get me? But honestly, probability of thinking I was going to cause a major evacuation because I moved the lift over 6 inches and down. And I don't know. So again, one day I maybe figured out a way to make $1,600 in 45 minutes. The next day I am creating havoc for 300 to 400 employees that, you know, and luckily Ralph Fred was not in the bathroom smoking at the time. Thank goodness. But your 30 to 60 years of building the world has got to be mostly moving in the right direction because of making smart decisions and not making dumb decisions. The dumb decisions may come, and those decisions, some people may look at and say, my God, he should have never been able to get back into that warehouse for the rest of his life because. Other people, you know what? Sometimes things just happen. And maybe, just maybe, if God's looking out for you that day, it's just a 20-minute evacuation and nothing more. When you're building your world, do your very best that every day, try to find 3 or 4 positive things that you can do. Even when your day is going absolutely terrible, suck it up for a little bit and find something that at the end of the day you can say, okay, I at least got this taken care of. Yeah, I did help Bob. We did connect the pipe back together and it wasn't that big of a deal. And yeah, I always wonder how many cubic feet of gas were coming through that thing a minute. I haven't done the calculations yet. Build Your World is really planning your last 30 to 40 years. If I'm building the world correctly, between the ages of 30 and 60, and I have the vision to think about my last 30 or 40 years, then by God, when you own your own business, you can start to think about the 60, 70, 80-year-old guy when you're 32 and 33 and 34. I want you to be your own businessman because of the freedom, the control, the empowerment it will give you every day. That because I have good employees, I trust these employees, I can look so far into the future and start to plan. What can I do with the last chapter where I can now live every day of my life and I can finally teach the subject I feel fairly confident I can teach? I can find a way with technology to hopefully reach not just tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Maybe I can reach a million people. Time will tell. It's not going to kill me if that doesn't happen, but at least I'm at a stage in my life where the classroom is built. Now we can go to class. Start your own business so that you can build the world so that when you hit your final chapter, you can do so many things that are positive for the people around you. I didn't have to tell the world every day for 30 years what my plan was. As long as I could tell myself and maybe one or two others, and I could play with the idea, I didn't have to worry every day, did I tell everybody what I'm going to do? If you're going to do something very, very, very big, don't tell a lot of people because all they're going to do is say, that's the dumbest, stupidest, craziest idea I've ever heard of. But wait, John, I've never even heard of this idea before. Go at your own pace. Remember, 11,000 days is a lot of days. 12 hours of 11,000 days is a lot of hours for you to be able to start to decide, what could I just do 1 hour a day? How can I plan my future on 1 hour a day if I'm moving in that direction? For me, being an outside kind of guy, buying dirt was important. You've heard the Great Country Song, Buy Dirt. Yeah, I knew I would need space. I would need an area that was big enough that I could go out every day and nobody would even know it. Buying dirt for me was really my canvas. I knew what I wanted to do, how I was going to do it. I knew that, you know, time was on my side. So for me, buying dirt. If you want to have the most amazing marketing company in the country or in the state or in the region, okay, what would that take? When do you need to start? How much do you need to duplicate yourself? How many people do you need to help you through that? If you're going to have the most amazing cookie store in all of Chicago or all of New Orleans, what is going to make your cookie store so special? What marketing will you have to do? What is going to have to make your cookie so amazing? Some guy a long time ago, he wanted to make chicken special. He wanted his chicken to say so good that everybody would go to his restaurant to buy his chicken. Now, he wasn't a general, he wasn't a captain. I think he's just a colonel. But he figured out a formula so amazing that people really liked that chicken, and they would drive a long way and they would spend good money for that chicken. So you've learned the world. You're now wanting to build the world so that someday, when technology finally catches up with you, you can spend your last 30, 40, 50 years doing exactly what you told yourself you were going to be doing when you were 30 and 40. Now, if all goes well in your first 60, there's going to be some hiccups, there's going to be some bumps, there's going to be some times where you're like, holy cow, I didn't see this coming. It's just one day, just one decision. You got 10,999 other days to make a better impression. But now your last 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, now, if God allows, he kind of plays into this sometimes, you have the ability to improve mankind. Have the ability to help others who maybe need a teacher, who maybe need someone they can trust. I learn the world. I build the world. Now I'm going to go out and hopefully change the world for the better, to take and help mankind in the best way I know how. And that's what Trespassing Aloud is all about. I love my God. I love my country. That day, I really loved Bob because Bob didn't panic. When Bob heard the wind and Bob smelled the gas, Bob didn't panic. Bob knew it was just a matter of, let's get the people out. Let's make sure nobody starts some fire somewhere. But Bob didn't panic. He just was like, hey, we think we know where the shutoff is. So Bob, if you're hearing this story, I know you'll remember the day, right? I love my family and yeah, just loving people. I have found that the more people I love, the easier my life gets. The more people I love, the happier I am. The more people I love and I see the positive in them, the better every day goes, whereby I'm just kind of like, wow, I am one lucky son of a gun. Are you 1 to 25, 1 to 29, 1 to 30 right now? Keep learning. You're 30 to 60 right now? God bless you, man. Build this world the best you can. Take your God-given talents and build this world the best you can. And if you're semi-retired or retired or you're in that last chapter of your life, you have an ability. I'm not going to say an obligation. That's up to you. You have an ability to take your first 60 years and share it and teach our next generations. Something tells me somebody probably did that for you. A teacher, a coach, a parent, a mentor. Get out there. Teach the world something. And hey, if you like the show, tell your friends. It is fun. I'm still learning a lot. I'm still going 1 hour and 9 minutes. But today, you know, if you're going to go through 9,200 years, you can't do it in 5 or 10 minutes. and day your enjoy your day. Come back and see me.